ancient, beautiful, and mystical India. An unlimited, unending source of fascination for people from all over the globe. India is also the birthplace of many holy masters who have shared with the world the paths to spiritual illumination. Geographically, India is very vast, covering an area of 3.3 million square kilometers, making it the seventh largest country on Earth. India is graced with the majestic Himalayas, the highest mountain range in the world. Often called King of the Mountains, it is revered as the home of the gods. The name is derived from Sanskrit, meaning the abode of snow. To the spiritual aspirants of millennia, the grandeur and elevation of the mountains are a constant reminder of the parallel glory and majesty of the human soul, and thus are considered to be of ultimate sacredness. In the early 1980s, profoundly moved by the ever-suffering in our world which she had witnessed since the time of her childhood, Supreme Master Ching Hai made a selfless and momentous decision to forsake the comfort of her personal life. Supreme Master Ching Hai's earnest quest for truth and enlightenment for the benefit of all beings culminated in her courageous journey in various parts of India and eventually the divine Himalayas. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas, given on July 7, 1997, during a gathering with our association members in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
So I said to him, you can use my room until you have next room. I don't sleep here, and daytime I'm gone, and nighttime I sleep in the roof. So, okay, he put his stuff there, very grateful, and then go around, go somewhere else. And in the evening, he came back and sleep on top of the roof. And meanwhile, he found his girlfriend, or I don't know, or the girlfriend just found him, or any girlfriend, I don't know. And then they nestled together next to me. And that's okay with me. All right. And then the next morning, probably my ex-husband came. Okay? It's also okay with me. Yeah, it's okay with me. But then he found me, and then he wanted to speak to me, and he wanted to take me around, and he wanted me to be with him. It's okay with me too. But I said to him, well, this is the last day of my 7 days retreat in the middle of the Ganges River. So would you please wait for me until the evening and I come back? Huh? Because in the middle of the Ganges River over there, there is a place that's just like an island. But in the night time, you don't see it because the water will cover it. Or cover nearly, you can't have access to it. Night time cannot go. The daytime you can go. You go when the sun rises and you come back when the sun sets. Then the water is still not so high. You still can see the rock. And you can walk over back to your home. But if it's a little later, the water will be too high, you can't walk. And there's no even boat to bring you from that small island in the middle back to the river bank. So I went there every day to meditate because there was a very famous master who lived opposite the bank, you know, next to the island. Yeah. And he told me I should go there and meditate in that cave for 7 days and then you feel good, you know, he told me. I said, okay, why not? I have nothing else to do. Because his disciples always go there and do retreat in the daytime. And nighttime she has to come back because it's dangerous to stay there. Sometimes the water come very high and cover the caves, you know, you can't stay there. So I went there every day and meditate. And that was the last day of my 7 day retreat that I promised the teacher. And then my husband came. So I said, okay, stay here, wait, huh? I come back. I tell him I come back about 6 o'clock in the evening. At 5 o'clock the sun set and I walk out. And then I walk around and then there is a boat to take me back to the other side. And I walk for a while and then about 6 o'clock. Fine, huh? But that day, I couldn't go by boat. There was so much wind and rain, you know, the Ganges water became like an ocean. So much waves, so no boats coming. So I wait for one, I know it's no boat, so I had to turn around and walk many miles upstream where there will be a bridge, you know, hanging bridge, and then I can cross over there and then run back along the riverside and go back to my mountain up there. So that take longer time. It's about 7 o'clock or more when I reach my place. But my husband already gone. Yeah. And they told me, just left. And I don't know what's going on. So I found my friend, you know, the raw food survival into 24th century. So I say, where is my husband? You know? At that time, he was still my husband. So I said, okay. He said, oh, he just gone. He said, how he gone? I told him to wait for me here. He said, I don't know. He's just gone. And I say, what's this? Because I recognize it was a movie camera that was belonged to me before I left him. It was given to me by my fiancé, you know, the other one that I did not marry. Also, not the doctor. It's a long story. Forget it. I was chased by a couple of doctors, so, but forget it. Just the main one, enough for you. Anyhow, that one is very rich, you know. The one that I did not marry, very, very rich. Ooh. He had a big box full of jewelry, you know, and thick. He said, that belonged to you. Now I have even more. So, that's another story, okay? Okay. He managed to engage, but that's it. No more. Okay, and then I said, what was that? He said, oh, he gave me this movie's camera. I said, why he gave you this camera? It used to belong to me. He didn't say anything, just left. Said, no, he just gave me the camera. I said, now it belongs to you, and then he just left. I said, it's funny. It's really funny. Is there anything else you say to him? He said, no, not really. We just talk. And then your husband asked me, where do I stay? I say, I stay here. In your room. And sleep in your bed. I said, oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, I was so mad at him. He said, why? It's the truth. Of course, but the truth is not true. Huh? It sounds as if I live with him and we sleep together. And that's why my husband left. I guess, huh? I guess. That's why he threw that camera to him and I left, because that belonged to me. He probably bring it for me. But then he thought, because now I live with that guy together, so that camera belonged to him too. Because I belong to him. Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I said, no. This is bad, you know? And I was so mad and panic, and the guy didn't know anything. Oh, she changed. It's strange. And then I run, you know. I run after him. I run to the bus stop, find him. But then he's gone. When I arrive, he's just gone. A few minutes ago. Just like he left and I come. Just like the movies, you know. Just like those sad romantic movies. Oh, I asked him, do you see, you know, my husband just left here anywhere? So, who is your husband? I said, the one with burr like this, German, tall, you know, handsome. I said, oh, yeah. He just left, you know, which bus? Long ago. And he said, is there any other bus now? I said, no, last one, gone. It's late. I said, oh. So, because I chased him with a horse car. It takes a long time. In India, you have horse car. One horse carry about 10 person. And I ran the whole car. Still couldn't chase after him. He just left. Okay. I don't mind if he misunderstands me, you know, but he's not supposed to be. He just came first time to see me. I didn't want him to get hurt like this. Since he came already, I don't want him to have just a bad souvenir to bring home. He came such a long way and we didn't see each other for a year. You know, and I don't want him to feel so bad, yeah? Suppose he felt bad, otherwise he wouldn't have thrown the camera there and go without saying one word to me and without written even a note to say why. So I didn't go there for that purpose, you know? And he misunderstood. So next day I went to the post office and tried to call him. To call daily from there, it's like you contact the moon or Mars, you know. Just, hello, hello, and then, poop, cut. And before you can even say hello, you have to wait half a day to get the line. There's only one post office, and there's a kind of, you know, old-fashioned kind of communication. Because the mountain is Himalaya, there's no such convenient, you know, walkie-talkie mobile phone like we have. So I wait half a day just to say hello, and then it cut. And then I wait another few hours again just to say another hello. And then the other guy don't understand anything about English. I say, get somebody talk English! Get somebody English! I say, English, English? No, no, sorry, bang! Okay, so next, the third time, I wait another 4 hours to get through. And then I asked an Indian guy, you know, who spoke English in the post office. Luckily, I got one. Please tell him I want to talk to somebody who speaks English over there and don't hang me up again. God, take me a whole day to say hello. You know, so, okay, finally, I got through the message. You know, my husband, is he still there? Because he went, I guess he went back there. I don't know where he went. But I guess he went back there because the friend said he want to go back to Germany. Why? He just came there. He want to stay there for 2 weeks holiday, and then he came, don't meet me, and then go back for Germany. So that means he's very sad, you know. So I say, please go and find my husband. I say, who's your husband? We have 1,000 around here with beard and with bird and blue eyes and, you know, blonde hair and tall and handsome. I said, no, my husband, so-and-so name, please find him. And then he said, no, no, we don't know. So I said, okay, so please tell him that, you know, I call, you know, if he comes, such and such name. He said, okay, okay. But then I wasn't sure the man understands, so I give a kind of a telegraph. Huh? But I didn't even know that he would receive it. I said, you misunderstood. Please come back immediately. Huh? So, and I left it there, but I had no hope that he will receive. And I waited and waited and waited. I don't see any reply. A few days later, I left. You know, I went to further, higher region to go to visit those, you know, like Ganges tree, where the source of the Ganges River is. So I went up there and very high mountain. And I did say, I go where? You know, but to just random people over in around that area. Then my husband did come back. And then he did ask the people there and chase after me up to the place where I was. I was in a midway only, and then I stay in a hotel, you know, before I go further. At that time, in that place, you still have a hotel, if you can call that a hotel at all. But at least you have a room with four walls, you know, like in a prison, you have a cell like that, solitary cell, yeah. And that's enough, because at least it keeps you solitary from the mosquitoes. Yeah? You hang your mosquito net there, between the four walls, on top of the nails, let your nail on the wall, and then that's it. You just jump in from the door, and then you're in the mosquito nest, and in the four walls. And it's cheap, you know, it's not expensive. I can't afford it too much. But when I went there to ask for a room, the person at the registration desk asked me, you can't stay alone. Do you have a husband? So I had to say, oh, my husband, yes, I have one. He's coming soon. He's coming in the afternoon. I just say like that, you know, at random. But really, he did come in the afternoon. Afterward, yeah. And then so what happened? I was on the street buying some fruit. I'm sure I told you all this story. Yeah, maybe in Chinese, maybe in German. Okay, I was planning to write a book, a story of my life, and become a bestseller. There's so many things I cannot even tell you. This is one of those stories, you know. Okay, so I was buying fruit, you know. I booked the hotel, okay, put everything there, locked my room, and then went out, buy some fruit. I was just choosing some mango, you know. And then suddenly, there were two big hands behind me, come on my face, like this. And I was struggling to get free. And there was a voice, very familiar, happy birthday. And I turned around, there he was, my husband. We had the same birthday. Yeah. So I said, okay, happy birthday to you. And so that night he stayed with me there, and then we traveled together up there. I didn't have to explain anymore, because he know I'm alone there. Yeah? And he never asked about the guy with the camera. He probably knew too. When he went there already, probably the guy explained to him that he just borrowed my room. Meanwhile, he had already a room next door, no? And then with his girlfriend. So probably he went there, then everything is clear. The truth always comes out. Huh? I didn't even have to say anything anymore. Because when he found me in the Himalaya alone like that, you know, in a small room alone, then he knows. Okay. And then he was very happy, you know, that I let him travel with him and then walk together to many different places. I show him the Himalaya that I know through the maps. And many of the legends, you know, the stories, the mysticism concerning those places. And he was fascinated, yeah. But he was a non-believer, you know. He said, I will not be able to marry you in the church. That was before, you know, before we married. I said, I don't mind. Marry anywhere. And also, he's not prayed for when he die. I said, okay, never mind. I call all my Buddhist teacher come pray for you. He was a doctor, but then he continued to study and research more in his subject so that he can be better doctor, you know. So he had money. We live on well, but not very rich. It's okay. Because he also was just graduate not long ago and he has to do internship and apprenticeship, yeah, for 2-3 years without not much pay. And also I had to buy a house and all that, you know, so I understood. I never demand him anything. He give me what he can, eh? And always unasked. Very generous husband, very considerate. I never complained about him, never, nothing. Oh, where were we? Happy birthday. Okay, fine. That's it. That's where he found me, you know. And it's funny how he found me just like that. Yeah? Always. He always find me wherever he wanted. Before that, he went all over to many post office, you know, before the Rishikesh. Yeah? Before that, the first time, he went everywhere. I said, how you find me in Rishikesh? He said, oh, he went to every post office, every bank, and asked whether such and such small Asian lady come here get money or post letter or anything like that or not. He traced me in every way he can, you know. Traced me into the ashram where I just left. I left in 3-4 ashram and he chased them all up to there, but then I just left. Just like in the movies, I told you. He came and I just left before that, just a few minutes or maybe last night, something like that. And then he traced to the last place where he met me at the spring water. Nah? Okay, now. So we went together everywhere like that and came back later on. He had to go home and I continue my search for spiritual wisdom in India. At that time I already had some, but I thought I still need some more, you know, in case. In case, and so I continue a lot. So that was it.
Amicable viewers, thank you for your presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us again tomorrow for part 4 of our program entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas. Now please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Healthy Living, coming up next after Noteworthy News. May Heaven's infinite love be your faithful guide.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.